morning.
Halacha Vav. On base, on base. Mishbar mitzvah chobo. Somebody paid up part of his debt. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda probably. Rabbi Yehuda Me'achliv. Rabbi Yehuda says you should switch the shtar. In other words, you should rewrite a new shtar based on the smaller amount which is now left to be paid. Rabbi Yossi Me'achliv Shorav says you write a receipt. You don't actually rewrite the shtar. And why the Gemara is going to discuss. Amrei Bira said not fair. Nimtza said tzolich lelio shomer shavara minach bolim. The loyves, then are going to have to watch, the borrowers are going to have to watch that his receipt doesn't get eaten up by mice, so therefore you're putting him at a disadvantage, because he's going to have to keep the shofar. Better to rewrite the document and put the burden on the malvin. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yossi says, v'chein yofelo, that's good, you should have to be on his guard to watch his receipt from the mice. We should not diminish the capacity of the individual who is the malva. In other words, the malva should bear should have the upper hand, and therefore we don't rewrite the document, we leave the document intact, and it's the loive who has to watch his document, not it shouldn't be eaten up by mice or lost. Rav said, Mish osin lo kiyum based. Rav says the updating of the shtar is done by corner of Yehuda is done by based. Basin has to be involved in doing it, and it can't be done without basin. Tarechir said, "I don't see no kiyum basin," which means we do not need to make a kiyum basin. In other words, Adam can rewrite the document based on the new sum which is owed, even without the basin being involved. You don't have to involve basin. Amrav Yirmi said, "Ilu shama rab were rab to have heard should be masnisa or masnai." It means to say he's masnisa. Had Rabbi Chia's price, of course, Rabbi Chia is the author of the prices. Had Rav no, Rabbi Chia said, "Love a adamilsa." They would not have said need a basin because Rabbi Chia clearly holds it, and in the price which Rabbi Chia cites, it clearly states you don't need a basin in order to rewrite the document. Says more, not necessarily. I'm going to learn this next time that your Samech does. As a matter of fact, the Shaitar Zitzrol, I think, takes out the whole next line. But I learned your Samech, which is a very cube shot, which will come back later on as well. Because go to Marin K. You know why Rav holds you need basin to rewrite the document once it's been partially paid? Because it's a case for such as where they say the following. I need plenty of plenty. The plenty of plenty. I, so-and-so, son of so-and-so. Love and plenty. I borrow money from you. Uploni orev. And so-and-so is a guarantor. Now, that's a critical point. In other words, how does a guarantor guarantee a loan? Because he accepts himself, as we'll see later this evening, at the time the loan is contracted, he accepts himself to the obligation because he has the pleasure, the satisfaction of knowing that people are lending based on his credibility. That's what makes him a Meshubah. But that's only an Orev at the time that the loan is contracted. Orev subsequent to the loan being contracted might not even be subject to a lien at all, because the loan was made without his involvement. So where's there this feeling of significance on his part to make him a Meshubah? So in order to make him a Meshubah, when a loan is rewritten, in order they should be able to get out of it, we need basin involved to certify that there was an Orev there, the Orev was part of the initial transaction, and then now he becomes recommitted to being an Orev on the lesser sum based on basin's involvement therein. Okay? So that's how Rav would explain why basin needs to be involved, not so much for the transaction between the two of them, for that aim sufficient, but in order to make sure that an Orev is still involved. In essence, really, is a kind of hefker based in hefker to a certain extent. But the basin really commits the Orev, despite the fact that he only commits himself to a certain obligation for a certain thing. They recommit him now for the smaller obligation. The initial transaction that would count. I mean, that's how some people learn the Arif that it's not the Anoa is worth money, and that's why it works,
right?
That's the binder,
right?
So here, but in the midstream, when you rewrite a document because part of the loan is afraid, then you need a base involved. Again, the Sura Samech is driving this in the Sonic Mara. Rabba Matzor Chaskis Man Rishim Shein, now along those, this will actually quote go flow from quite nicely. Rav says you have to mention the date of the original loan in the second document which you're rewriting, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel Amar Eitzor Chaskis Man Rishim Shein. Shmuel says you do not need to do so. Tanya Rabbi Chir, he also Eitzor Chaskis Man Rishim Shein. You don't have to write the time of the initial loan in the second document. Rabbi Yochanan asked the question. He asked, now, Lamaisa, that also is based, well, can be understood very well based on this. If you want to get the Arev involved, right, you want to make sure the Arev is involved, then you have to mention the first date, because what made the Arev involved in this transaction? The fact that the initial loan was made on his say-so. So therefore, Rav, consistent with his approach at all, you have to mention the historical fact of the first loan, the first date of the loan. You can't just go on this, the date of this diminished loan, which is now taking place in front of you. Time Rabbi Chiya ain't so glad as man Rishon Shein. Rabbi Chiya says you don't have to mention it. Rabbi Yochanan boy Tapulam Gimelav. Rabbi Yochanan asks a question. If so glad as man Rishon Shein, if like Rav says, you have to mention the date of the first transaction in the second document, right, in the rewritten smaller document. Al Adom Rabbi Yosi b'chein Yofelo v'ayera kops. And this Rabbi Yosi would have said it's better to leave the first document intact and not diminish the power of the lender, rather. Tough luck on the loan and let him keep his receipt. I don't understand, says Rabbi Yochanan. What's the issue? The new rewritten document, it has the date of the initial loan, so then you know everything. What's the advantage of having the initial old document if all the information in the first document is now in the second document? It's an excellent question. But according to the Shaitar Yisrael and your Sameach, the question is answered. The line after the next Mishnah, Halachos Zayin, should actually be up here. And that's an answer. Tani, you learn to look at the end of Halachos Zayin. Lo doyme e-mashtar gota lo e-mashtar gota. We want to keep the loive on his defensive. And his fear of a smaller document is not comparable to fear of a larger document. Yes, it's true, all the facts in the second document are the same as the first one, but the sum is a smaller sum. The sum in the first document is a larger sum. Marv was defrayed and a receipt was written, but Zoloiva was going to be eager to pay up the whole thing, so there's no extant document for a larger sum out there against it. So therefore it's a tool which the Malva has, at least psychologically, to induce the Loiva to pay him back quicker. The fact that he's holding onto a larger document, which if the Loiva loses his receipt, might well come to collection. Okay? So yes, Rabbi Yossi holds there is an intimidation factor here, even though all the information, which is the initial document, is in the second document, there's still the intimidation factor of having a larger document outstanding. Okay? Shneach, halach hazayin. You have two brothers. Echad ani v'echad ashi, one rich and one poor. Hiniach l'naviyam mer, one poor and one rich. Hiniach l'naviyam merchatz, their father left them a bathhouse with beis habad on Ralpris. Also, if they made it to rent out to others, so they divided the rental 50-50. So as if they use it for their own purposes. So it's tough luck on the poor person. The rich guy says to the poor person, take slaves for your chutzpah merchatz. So it's, yes, my slaves are washing in the bathhouse. You get slaves. Oh, you can't get slaves. Sorry about that. But Lamaisa, well, his time is, whatever I do, you can do. The fact that you don't wear it, don't do it. Your problem, not mine. God chazes him simply take olives Oh, you can't get olives. Sorry for you. Okay? Shnaim should be here. There's two people in the city. Very famous case. Shem Echad Yesem and Shimon. Shem Echad Yesem and Shimon. Each one has the same name, Yosef ben Shimon. Needless to say, they can't produce a document against each other. Because which Yosef ben Shimon is producing a document against which Yosef ben Shimon? Says Yosef ben Shimon, the lender, against Yosef ben Shimon, the borrower. The documents may well be bogus, right? Nor can another individual producer shtar chov against one of them, because he can always say, you know, it's the other Yetzer ben Shimon. If one individual, a creditor in the city, finds among his documents a note that shtar shor Yosef ben Shimon parua, that the documents of Yosef ben Shimon have been already collected on, so then shtayim pruim. He can't collect against either Yosef ben Shimon, because we don't know which one he collected on, which one he did not, and therefore he can't collect against either one. So Ketzer Yas, what do you do if you have two people with the same name in the city? So Yishalshu, you write the grandfather's names, Yosef ben Shimon ben, you know, Reuben, and Yosef ben Shimon Levi, right? Imayim Mishulashim, what if their grandfathers also had the same names? So then Yichtavu Simadish, write this one short, this one's tall, this one's fat, this one's slim. Write a sign to identify them. If they're equivalent in their stature and the way they look, their features, yichtavu koyin, and write lineage. Always find some way to differentiate between the two of them. Somebody says to son shtar ben shtar saparua. He says, one of the documents I'm holding in my trove of documents has already been paid back by the borrower. Veinya du ezu. We don't know which document was the one which was paid back, and then the guy died. All of them are considered to be misafik, because we don't know which one was actually paid up. They're all considered to be paid up, except nimtza echad shom shnayim. If somebody, some person found to have two outstanding loans against a person who was dying and a person who's just now dead. Two outstanding loans, not against him, but to him. In other words, he owes two sums. So obviously, only one of the documents is redeemed, has been paid back, because that's what the dying guy said. He said, one of my documents is paid back, not both, not two. So therefore, this guy owes two debts. So we assume Agada Perua, the large debt was paid back. Ashkotanein Perua, small debt is not paid back. This is a variation of the theme of Motzim Chaber Lovarai. Would you clearly demand recourse for the smaller amount, but that small amount you have the right to demand recourse, because again, only one document has been paid back, and therefore only one document against maximum against a specific individual, and therefore Lemaisa, he has to pay back the smaller document. Okay, Amavus Chaver Adayor. Excuse me. Amavus chaver adayorif. Nice cool piece. Soon it's going to be too cold, but right now it's good. Amavus chaver adayorif. Somebody loans his friend via a guarantor. Lo yifra mina orif. You can't collect from the guarantor, meaning not first. You have to go first after the debtor, only afterwards after the guarantor. Imam Ramanasha from Amisha Erza. And he says, on the condition that I can collect from whoever I want. Okay, that's what the creditor said. If I pay minorit, then he is allowed to go after the guarantor. Shugam says, no. If the borrower's got property, he shouldn't go after the guarantor no matter what. Okay, in other words, you should always go after the lender under those circumstances. Rabbi Yohan said, basically repeating the mission for the time being, but it's going to go further. It's talking about a case where... Oh, no, he's not repeating the mission. No, he's going further right away. Sorry. That's only our mission about a case where the borrower has property. But if the borrower has no property, you can go after the guarantor first. You don't have to bother trying to wait until the loiva raises property. No, you go after the arif. And if he says, on the condition I can take payment for whatever I want, Yifrim and Arabi collects on the guarantor, even if the borrower's got property. Time Amori, in Babel they said, Every place where Rishon Gilui appears, we pass him chutz mi'arif, except for our Mishnah, where he says you should never go after the arif first. We pass him, we can't go after the arif first, if that was an original stipulation. But Zaidon, it's a case about how far he can travel Erev Shabbos. For Raya Chorin, a case where a litigant says he has no proofs, or he can no further proofs, so that he can then say, well, I changed my mind. Anyway, those three cases are no bounds of Rishon Gamliel. I mean, they said about Mishnah Seinu, that which he Pascha is Rishon Gamliel, it's only in our Mishnah, meaning not in Brises. Rabbi Yami Bar Korcha B'Shem Rav said, V'lom Rumu B'chom Makolok Rishon Gamliel. Why do they say, it's Rishon Gamliel? Shalochus Ketzubus Hoya Oymer Mipi Beisino. He said, cut, meaning specific and carefully consider halachos in the name of his basin. Basically, his basin was enacting the takanos, right? So therefore, whatever he said had the authority and the capacity of his basin behind it. Gamliel was, of course, the nasi. Kayetibo, similarly, if a man guaranteed a woman's ksuva, now also woman guaranteed, I'm just using a man as an example. A man guaranteed a woman's ksuva via Baal Magarsha, and her husband was divorcing her. So we're afraid they'll go after the guarantor and they'll get remarried and split the spoils, right? Right? So we're afraid of that. So Yadir Hanoya. So the husband has to swear that he's never going to take back his wife. He's forbidden to have any benefit for eternity. Because maybe otherwise they'll make a scheme against the properties of the guarantor. And he'll take back his wife, having collected the ksuba. Says one. Well, now, the next case, the case in the Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand. As a matter of fact, the case in the Gemara subsequently for the next halacha, which is not very long, is hard to understand. So we will touch this up my way, okay? Says the Gemara, Chamui debarte de Rabbi Chagai. Now this is a little bit complicated, just in terms of getting the name straight. Rabbi Chagai had a daughter. She spent a lot of money. What's the word for that? She was, isn't Spencer the opposite? Yeah, she was.
No, spendthrift is right.
Okay, so she was spendthrift. Okay? Now, so her husband, of course, wanted to divorce her. When a wife spends a lot of money, just get rid of her, right? Now, who was the guarantor of the ksuba? The guarantor of the ksuba was her father-in-law, meaning her husband's father, right? So, Chumayda Baitir Rabbi Chagai, Hava Arva Bapurna Devaitir Rabbi Chagai. The father-in-law was the guarantor of the daughter-in-law's ksuba. And she was wasting the property, and the son wanted to divorce her. Fine, divorce her, but you have to swear that you're never going to take her back. Because otherwise, we're afraid you're going to take her back and split your father's money. Right? No, this case, you don't have to take the chenoth. And the Mechamayim explains very logically, because kids don't make knunias on their parents. Ah. In the old days, people didn't scheme against their parents to defraud their parents and get their parents' money. Okay, this nishtana ateva. Anyway, so says where I'm turning the page. Of course, the chevra said in front of Rabbi Yosi. Why is this? Now here's where it gets a little bit tricky. So I think there's something wrong with the Giyasir here, so I'm just going to improvise a little bit. Ma'ilu diyachzir v'yazvina. In a case where, in a normal case, not this case over here, what are we afraid of? We're afraid that he's going to take back his wife and split the proceeds, right? So here too, remember, what's this woman? She's a spendthrift, right? So let's be afraid that the creditors made a deal with her. That she'll take the suit, that she'll compel a divorce and get the money from the Orev and pay back the creditors. In other words, let's not be concerned about the husband, but let's be concerned that she made a deal with the creditors to compel a divorce, right? So here too, Leis Maria Choyva Asivatarif, aren't the creditors going to come and collect? So Amar Rabbi Yosi retorted, the lo yachzir. Just like over in a regular case, of what do we say? We say the husband's got to take an oath, right, that he's not going to ever take her back, and that way he obviously is not going to defraud the guarantor. Here, you know what we do? We say the avdinu metalklin. Here, the guarantor should pay her with metalklin. Why metalklin? Because metalklin can easily be squirreled away from the creditors. So then we'll see what she does. If she pays up the creditors right away, we'll know that, you know, there was some deal going on. But we're going to give her metalklin, which dafka can be squirreled away from the creditors, and that way we'll be assured that she wasn't plotting together with them. Okay? That's how I would explain the Gemara. Or another option is para parnun. Para parnun is we'll make her a trust fund. In other words, we're not going to pay her her oksuvet once, but we're going to make her a trust fund and pay her over time. It says your nichsei tzom barzel. So the Pnei Moshe says, which is answer the trust fund. And that way there won't be any knunya, because we'll make sure the money's not going direct to creditors, and that it wasn't their counsel and their suggestion to compel a divorce. Right? The creditors won't find what to grab. Nevertheless, the halacha came out this way, basket, even where a son is divorcing his wife and the guarantor is the father, you still have to take a shvur. Still have to take a shvur that you're never going to take your wife back, because we're afraid that sons do make nunyas on their fathers. Okay? Says halacha yud. Hamavas chavei b'shtar, last mishnah bo basra. Okay? In the Bavli, it takes 177 blot to get here. In the Ushami, 34. Hamavas chavei b'shtar. Somebody who loans his friend money in a document. It's basic halachas of collecting debts. In fact, in the Bavli, the last two blot are concerned with Shibuda the Raisa, Shibuda Lav the Raisa. One of the classic sugyas in Shas, where the liens are, liens are Torah law or rabbinic law. But here, we're not going to get into that. Hamavas chavei b'shtar, somebody who loans his friend money in a document, goyim nechasim b'shmonim, he collects from, the creditor collects money from, from the chasim b'shmonim, from property even which has been sold off, real estate which was sold off by the debtor, after the date of the debt. I date him if the loan took place for the witnesses, but with no document, goyim nechasim b'chor b'nechor, he can only collect from free and clear property. If I produced upon an individual his own handwriting, an IOU that he's liable to me, you collect only from free and clear property, not from chasim shubadim. Collect from chasim shubadim, property which has been sold by the debtor, requires a document signed and sealed by witnesses. Okay? Varev shiyotzachar chisim shtaros. If a creditor signed on as creditor after the document of the loan was sealed, the loan was not made on his cognizance. The loan was made independently. He signed on as guarantor afterwards. So in that case, you collect from the Orev, but only from property that the Orev had free and clear, not property that the Orev sold to somebody else. In the same way, you collect from property which is free and clear, which the Arab possesses, even though the Arab was not relied upon source when they contracted the debts. Armelo ben Anas said, no! If the Arev was not there from the kitko and the gravy don't collect from the Arev, lom lechasim shubadim, not from property which he sold, and not even the chasim nechorim property which is still in his possession. Why? Amar lo ben Anas gave a mashal with this. Loma? Rabbi Shmuel asked him, why is that? Amar lo ben Anas said, you know why? Hachoyin kasev ashru, if I see somebody throttling Mr. Zuger in the marketplace, let's say, and then I come and I say, stop throttling him, I'll pay you whatever you want. And then they stop throttling him. Do I have to pay? No, I was just trying to save his life, right? So therefore, I don't have to actually pay anything, right? It's just I was just babbling away to get them to go away, right? So too, that's the same case here. He said, "Anachli, anachma, you know, say, leave alone. I'll pay whatever you want. Potter, it's exempt." Shlom Nuso, here too, it's the same thing. Shlom Nuso Aveu. The Orev had Rachmanis on the debtor. He tried to diminish his liability, you know, give him some respite, but he didn't actually mean to accept upon himself the lien. That we do not do. Vez Orev Shuchayevlo, when is an Orev liable? Armalo Aveu, if the guy says, if the Orev says at the time of the loan, so he says to the creditor, loan him money, Fanino Islachon, I'll pay you. Chai of that case, an Ori becomes obligated. Shekain Amanusa Levo, in that case, the loan was made on the basis of the credibility of the Ori. Right? Amrav Yisrael said, oh, Benanas is such a Talmud Chochem. He came with such a Gevaldike Svoche to explain why the loan has been contracted is not obligated to pay. Are you cold?
No.
Is that the problem? Okay. So Benanas is such a wonderful person. So I write Sashi Yakim Silishakim. Somebody wants to come smart. Yasub Dimos should involve himself in monetary law. Shemik Torah Goldman is no greater subject to Torah than them. Shehain Kimayan Avail like a gushing fountain. Anybody wants to involve monetary law, Shimon Benanas, you should become apprenticed, meaning you should be learned by Shimon Benanas, who has this gewaltige koyach hasvora. It's a wonderful, wonderful capacity for teaching these things. Okay, says Gemara. Ravuna Maravuna says, now, once again, all the Mepharshim here do not leave me satisfied. The reason for this is they all change the Girsa in our Gemara based on the Girsa on the Gemara in Shvius, which is different than here. Now, to a certain extent, you have to take into account the Gemara in Shvius here, but I think they're making a mistake in taking the Gemara in Shvius being primary, this one being wrong as a result. So I actually do not change the Girsa at all, and still manage to more or less muddle through, and I think muddle through more correctly than they do. Okay, Ravuna Mar Akdama Psula. Ravuna says, if you have a loan, which is the document is written, is predated. So of course, you would think it's possible altogether, right? Should be possible altogether? No. Akdama Psula Ben Ashtar Kosher. The document is kosher from its present date. It's not kosher from the earlier date. Obviously, no loan was contracted at that time. It can't create an earlier shiva, but it's kosher from the present date. Okay? From here on in, it's kosher. Says Morrow, how can you say this? But then we learn, Puzbul Amukdom Kosher. The day when the loan actually occurred. No, the day when the loan actually occurred. Okay? As opposed to the pre-date, which could have been a month, 2 months, a year earlier, it's kosher from the date the loan actually occurred.
It says that in the
Shtar
of the
You're saying a good question, asking a good question. Okay, we'll have to come back to that later on. Tomorrow we'll come back then. Okay? Says we don't know right now. But seeing it, then we learn, but it says more, wait a minute. But then we learn, now here's everybody changing gears, but I think they're wrong. Pruzbul amukdom kosher v'amukhar posel. We learned that a pruzbul, now, pruzbul, you have to understand based on Mark's question. By pruzbul, what's worse? And by document, when it's predated or document alone, that's worse, because that means that you're trying to create a shibud before it exists, right? But by prusbul, the opposite is true. An earlier prusbul is of less value, because prusbul, what does prusbul represent? It represents the point in time when you give your documents to the court. Say, I'm no longer the debtor creditor. You based on the creditor, therefore you can collect, because Shemitah doesn't cancel your debts. So actually, prusbul muktam, it's your disadvantage. The advantage is to have a prusbul as late as possible, right? So actually, which is more of a lie here? The later prusbul. In other words, a shtar muktam is worse because it predates the shibud. But a prusbul mu'uchar is worse because it purports to give over more loans to Beis Din that Shemitah shouldn't cancel them, and it doesn't give over all those loans. But so we're in parallel. The two sugyas is kasha. So just like Ravuna says, by shtar muktam, it's pasul from the prior predating, but it's kosher from today. So do we say by prusbul, it's pasul for the later dating, but it's kosher up to today. Yet that's not what it says here. What does it say here? That a prusbul on muchar is what? It's pasul altogether. You see the Mara's question? Why should it be pasul altogether? At least it should work, just like a shtar muktam works from today and on, so to a prusbul muchar should work up till today, albeit not subsequent to today. Okay, that's the Gemara's question. Nobody explains like that, and they're all wrong. Says Gemara,
we
write the last possible moment. No, no, but we write it Erev, we write it Erev Rosh Hashanah on Shmi, before it takes effect, which is the last possible moment. We wait till the last possible moment to write it. You can write any time. You can write now. But now, what? If you wrote it now, it wouldn't apply to any debts you contract after today.
So writing in Erev Rosh Hashanah coming year
is because of this Gemara.
That's not considered
Ruhuhar? No, no, we're writing it the last possible moment. We're not post-dating it. We're writing it on the last possible moment. We're writing Erev Rosh Hashanah, which is the last possible moment. Okay? Says Gemara. So it's a kasha. How do you reconcile the two sugyas? So it says Gemara. Hoda the tema, that which you say the Ravuna, that which Ravuna said by us, that the shtar muktam is kosher, is because he holds like Rabbi Lezer. What's Rabbi Lezer's famous shita? What's Rabbi Lezer's famous shita? Oh, come on, be prepared to kick yourself. Rabbi Lezer's famous shita is that Eidei Mesira Karti, right? The Eidim are one of the primary witnesses. Witnesses who saw the giving over of the shtar, they know what date was given on. That's only critical. That's true by loans, because by loans, Eidei Mesira Karti makes a difference. In other words, they see the loan taking place. The date in the shtar is subordinate to the date in which the witnesses see the loan, the document changing hands. That's what's critical. Okay? By Prusbul, there's no such concept. By Prusbul, the Eidim are almost immaterial. Because what is the actual need of Prusbul? I don't know. What's the actual need of Prusbul? To take a document and physically give it to a court, right? So you don't need witnesses for that. You need to write it up and give it to the court. To post-date it makes the whole document possible. Because there's no concept of Eidei Mesira Karti. It's not Ashtar Raya. It's not a star of proof of evidence where they didn't see are critical, but it's a tool by which you give over things to court. So therefore, the Eidim Messira don't do you any good in that case. Okay? That's where it says, Hoda Temer Ravuna Drabi Lezer. The Ravuna Otsurge Lezer. Some say, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochim is the one who said, it wasn't just the stump of the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Yochim said, Hoda Ravuna Rabbi Lezer. Omar, he said, even though the document has no witnesses, you give it to a woman if it's a get, a man if it's a document of loan, in front of witnesses, kashel, you collect from property underling, witnesses don't sign a get, only in order to fix up the world, meaning that if you can't find the witnesses of Eidei Mesira, at least you know that they were there were Eidim, because you have Eidei Chesima. But in Achanami, the prime witnesses are those who witness the giving over the document. So that has to do with, again, that reconcile where Shtar Muktam is possible from the pre-date, but it's kosher on today's date because the Eidei Mesira Karti, they saw it being delivered today, taking effect today. But by principle, there's no need for Eidus. But Prusbul, it's surely a question of when Basin receives the document. And if Basin receives it today, and it's posted later on, so then that document is rendered meaningless. That document is a lie. You cannot use that. There's no alternate proof, no alternate evidence to say that the document is kosher, because there are witnesses are meaningless and inconsequential in this case. Okay? Says more further. Where can you when is it when now Then we're asked, when do these Edim work? That Edim Mesira. This actually comes back to your question before, what date is written in the document. If it's, they're contradicting themselves, in other words, they signed the document. The document says that it was January 1st. And then they testify and they say, well, we actually, the Mesirah Zeshtar was on February 1st, right? So they're contradicting themselves. They contradict each other. They contradict each other. As if they're not there, but Shtar kosher, it's going to say Shtar is kosher. How could Shtar be kosher in those circumstances? If on the other hand they don't contradict each other, right? Because they actually go according to what it says in the document, or the document doesn't say anything, and they just testify about what the date was. So of course it's so good. Okay, what's the chiddush? Or meishlogi shalosu einim achsum mishtar commission nechui dusim basin, right? Einim was signing a document, and it's as if their testimony was accepted in court. And of course, if there's no contradiction, it's okay. So where is the case where the shtar could be muktam? Yet it's not a contradiction to that which you're saying that it took place on a later date, and the shtar is still kosher from the later date. My kedun. So what's the case where this is going to work out? Says Gemara, getting back to what we learned earlier this evening, give out the gechab. You got to hand the Gemara for this one. Bino de Amre. It's talking about like the case. The Morin, they say, Kane. Ani plenty. The Morin came that the witnesses say, this is what Yanko came to us and told us. Yanko came to us on February 1st and said, Ani plenty, be plenty, lovis me plenty, you plenty. I mean, let me see plenty and plenty orif. He came and told us that he borrowed on January 1st. So the document relates that on February 1st, Yanko came and said he borrowed money on January 1st. That's the case of Shtar Mukdam, which is kosher. Why? Because, yes, Yanko claimed January 1st. Do we accept his claim January 1st? No. The document only is valid from February 1st, but it is valid from February 1st. Thus, they are not contradicting. They're just relating what they were told. And the document contains both dates. Says Amar, that itself was a machlokus. Rav Amar, Tzorech Laskir, Zmanash Rishon B'Sheni. You must mention, right, the first date in the document. Now, truth is, this, I think, also goes back to what we learned previously. Rav doesn't know they really have to mention the first date. Of course they don't have to mention the first date, right? Because Lamaisa, the Shtar, only takes play effect from February 1st, not from January 1st. Even though they told January 1st is not meaningful, right? We don't believe you vis-a-vis January 1st, right? You want to come and tell us that that's nice, but we only make document effect from February 1st. But the Pshat is for the Orev again. In other words, the Orev, in order for an Orev to become Meshubad, and here it says plenty Orev, he only comes Meshubat if at the time of the loan he was the one who was the catalyst for the loan. So Rav says, yes, it's true, theoretically the document is only good from today on regardless, but we want the Orev to be Meshubat. And the only way the Orev can be Meshubat is if we attest to the fact that everybody involved agreed that the date of the initial loan was January 1st. The Shibud won't begin then, but that's the only way that the Orev can be considered to be part and parcel of the deal. Because only in that way does he become a Shubat, because on his say-so. If you only make him Shubat for today, so he's an Orev Ayertil Achachisim Shtoros. According to Ben Nanos, it's nothing. It won't work. So that's what we have to write from the beginning. Rav Mar Tzor Lazkir Zmano Shurishon B'Sheni. Shmuel Mar Eitzor Lazkir Zmano Shurishon B'Sheni. No, he doesn't know that you have to mention it. Rav Ushmuel. Now, Rav Shmuel obviously have a focus. Rav should be the Mecha of Mayan changes it. Rav Kershim Ben Lokish. Ushmuel Krabi Yechonon. Now, we don't know, the problem is we don't know which Rabbi Yochanan, which Rabbi Shim Ben Lokish, which Rabbi Shim Ben Lokish, and which Rabbi Yochanan. But the Mecha Mayan gives his own shot. But I have a couple of my own shot here. Either one of two pshatim. First of all, Rabbi Yochum was the one who asked previously on Rav. He said, if you write both dates, why do you have to rewrite the document? Why does Rabbi Yossi hold you don't rewrite the document? There, and then Rabbi Yossi had answered, the one answered on behalf of Rabbi Yossi. They rewrite, you don't rewrite the document because the Shtar Gadol is more of a threat to a law, to a credit borrower than a Shtar Gadol. But there Rabbi Yochanan questioned Rav. He said, if you write both dates, why do you have to? So why do you have to, why do you have to give Kohen Rabbi Yossi to retain the first Shtar? So there we see Rav is not like Rabbi Yochanan. Rav is like Shimon Lakish, even though Rish Lakish doesn't appear there. The Gemara is assuming Rish Lakish must argue, be the Bar Pukta Rabbi Yochanan, and the one who holds that you do write the first and second day. There's another way of interpreting that. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say presently that we don't paskin like Benanos, meaning that an Orev Acher Chisum Shtoros is a valid Orev, even though he wasn't the one who was callous for the loan. But if he signs on later, he's still a valid Orev. So if that's the case, and Rabbi Yochanan says that, again, Mistamer Shlokish argues, doesn't appear. But that means Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are not on the same page. Because Rav is saying you have to write the first date and the second date in order to get the Orev involved. Because the Orev is only involved if he's there from the get-go. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that way. Yochanan holds an Orev can sign on later on and still be required to fulfill the terms of his obligation. So the Gemara goes on. That's Gemara goes on to say. Rabbi Yassim, Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Ava Bishakil, so Rabbi Shmuel's Ben Nanos. Even though Rabbi Shmuel could praise Ben Nanos, Amidroshel Kilsa, on his capacity to expound, he praised him. Havlenek Ben Nanos. The halacha is now like Ben Nanos. And Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Abbechonu Kalok Rabbi, even if a guy is suffocating you in the marketplace. And I come over there and say, I'll pay! I taka do have to pay. That obligation becomes real. I taka do have to pay in that circumstance. Says the Gemara, on Rabbi Yisrael said that Shema Mina, you hear that the flip side of that is Bananas' perspective. Barnashta Abitzai the Chavre Beshuka. If I'm captured my friend in the marketplace, in other words, I kidnapped him. Vasacharumar Shavke. Somebody comes and says, leave him alone. Va'ana yoiv, I'll pay. According to Ben Nanas, Minahain Gavi, you collect from the kidnapped victim, who is, we assume, owed money to the kidnapper. In the old days, they didn't kidnap for ransom. They kidnapped because the guy owed them money. Minahain lo gavi, you don't collect from the orev. Okay, so that's a machlokas. In fact, the same machlokas in Pir Taka apply to Chonuk as well. The same Benanas use that as a logic to explain why an Orev afterwards doesn't become a Shuvah, because it's like coming to redeem a suffocating person in the marketplace. That Gufa, according to Yerushalmi, is a machlokas. When I tell somebody, stop suffocating him, whether I become liable to pay as a result of that or not. Okay? Hajjulach Ba'abasra. Actually, there are slight differences, but it's almost identical to the sugya beginning of Masechta Shabbos in the Bavli. Shvuah Shtayim Shem Arba. There's shvuahs which are two, which are four. Now, two, which are four, are that to do something and not to do something, and it's four because to do and not to do, to have done in the past and not to have done in the past. So it's l'harau leitiv, that's language of Basel, to do or not to do. L'harau and leitiv are not good and bad, but rather to do and not to do. And the Basel is talking about the future. The Shavuot, if I take an oath to do something or not to do something, and I transgress it, to bring a korban. There's also the past. If I take a Shavuot that I did something or didn't do something, that's two, which are four, right? Yudia satumash time shame arba. Yudias atuma, in order to have halachas, in order to be chayav a korban for either eating kodesh when you're tamei or entering the base mikdash tamei, you first have to have known that you were tamei, forgotten, enter the base mikdash or eating kodesh, then remembered afterwards. So you have to have prior awareness, right? So there, it's also two, which is four. There's yudios, and there's tuma. But you could forget one of two things. You could either forget that you're Tomei and enter the Beis HaMikdash or eat Kodesh, or you can know that you're Tomei and forget that this is Kodesh, or forget that this is the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, you thought you're going to the Beis HaMikdash theme park, right? So those are two possibilities. There are two, which are four possibilities. You need forget, remembrance, Okay, say what you want to say.
There is one now.
Really?
It's run by a
I didn't really. Wow. That's amazing.
This is a.
Oh. Okay. That is amazing. Okay. What was that theme for? What was it? So there it's two which are four, because we have two variables which spread into four: forgetfulness of the Kodesh Mikdash and forgetfulness of the Kodesh or forgetfulness of the Tumah. Yitzias or Shabbos, of course, the classic example is Yitzias on Shabbos. Shtayim Sheim Arba, there are two which are four, which are really, there's Hotzoah and Achnosah, initiated by the person who's inside or the person which is outside. So again, two which is four is where there are two sets of variables and how they interact. The two sets of variables are putting something in, taking something out, and for the person who's inside or the person who's outside, right? Maros Negoim by Tzaras. There are two in the Pasuk which turn out to be four, because it says in the Pasuk, Seisin Baheres, and there actually are Tolodos of the Seisin Baheres. Okay? Shtayim Shem Arba Luchi. Now, there's a couple of changes in the Gemara Shabbos. It should actually be Mau. What is Shtayim Shem Arba? Two which are four. Is it Shtayim, which Shtayim is missing? Shtayim L'chiyuv. And Shtayim, take out Shein Arba, L'ptur. Does it mean two which are liable and two which are not liable? Or Arba L'chiyuv V'Arba L'ptur. Or four which are liable and four which are not. Now this is talking about by Shabbos. Because by Shavuos, obviously we're talking about everything you're liable for, right? You transgress. That's not so simple. I take that back. It's going to come up with loudness anyway. But our question is by Shabbos. But it says two which are four. Does it mean that you have two of which are liable and two for which you're not liable? Which, of course, you know, in order to be liable, you have to do Akira and Hanocha, right? So there's a, so does it mean that the two which are liable, you do Akira and Hanocha? And two which are not liable, where you only do Akira and your friend does Hanocha, or vice versa, right? Which is two Chiyuv and two Potter, or Arbel Chiyuv, Arbel Ptur. We're talking about four Chiyuv and four Ptur, right? Four Chiyuv would be you doing Akira and Hanocha, the guy on the inside, Hotzah. You doing Akira and Hanocha, the guy on the inside, Achnasa. You doing Akira and Hanocha, the guy on the outside, Hotzah. You doing Akira and Hanocha, the guy on the outside, Achnasa. Remember, Hotzah is taking to the out, Achnasa brings something in, right? In the case of Shabbos, specifically talking, if you recall correctly, about Ani, you know, the Ani is outside and the Usher is inside the house, the rich guy and the poor guy. So which one is it? Shmina min adot. Let's turn around for our mission. It says in our mission, Shvuos Shtayim Shein Arba. Shvuos, two which are four. And two which are four, we assume in our mission, of course, is all liable. Liable in our case for korban. So everything you're talking about is a chiyuv. And the Gemara expounds upon this. Actually, the order in Shabbos is reversed, and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Bo were going to have, and the Gemara in Shabbos is probably more correct than here, but I'll read it the way it is here anyway. Am Rabbi Yossi says, Masli, so Amar Kain, our Mishnah says this. Shavuos Shtayim Shem Arba, Shavuos are two which are four, lo l'chiyuv, they're all obligations, all liability for carbon here. The Kavos is so to Beitzia Shabbos, Shtayim Shem Arba, l'chiyuv, they're all liability for carbon. Amar Rabbi Bo said, Tamon, over there, meaning over here, by Masech Shavuos. Over here, Masech Shavuos, Kun L'chiv, you're Dako liable. Hach, however, over here, meaning over there, Masech Shabbos, Chiv Uptur, and this dot is a mistake, Chiv Uptur Asina Misne. No, there in Shabbos, we want to tell you what's Chayv, what's Potter. Now the truth is, what he's saying is like this. He's saying, even though it says here it's Shabbos Shnayim Shein Arba, and there in Masechta Shabbos it's Shabbos Shnayim Shein Arba, they're two different Mishnayos. There, here in the Mishnah, is only Agavur can tell you about Shabbos. The primary concept of the issue is Shavuos, and we just slip in Shabbos by tag along. So therefore, here we're talking about all Chiyuvim. But there, Masechta Shabbos is the primary place we want to tell you halacha. So we need to, we're there, the Mishnah's telling, talking to you both about Chiyuvim and about Pturim. Okay? Which we're going to explain momentarily, or at least tomorrow night. Hadam Rabel Chiyuv Arbel Ptur. There, it's for Chiyuv and for Ptur. Says, you know what? I know what you're talking about. For a time, then we have a Mishnah in Midos. She talks about Vlosses Hechel Shtaim Shein Arba. Says, by the doors of the Hechel, there were two folding doors. They were French doors, right? So two, which actually became four, right? It is Meimar Chiyuv, should be Olif Tur. Well, is there Chiyuv Ptur over there? Every place where it says two, which is four, they have to be Chiyuv Ptur. It's not all Chiyuv Ptur. They're by the Vlosses Hechel. So I do Chiyuv Ptur. Don't get hung up on this Chiyuv Ptur business. Okay, Lamaisa guys, we'll have to stop here for this evening. I did plan to do another Amud, but you guys all came late, so we'll have to do it tomorrow night. No. Starts. You're thinking about Yerushalmi. This is Bavli. I mean, you're thinking about Bavli, it's Yerushalmi. I have no idea. You're probably right. In the Sefer Shmuel and the Bavli, it gets in only in the second paragraph, I think. Looks like you're right. Looks like here, too, is the same thing. Okay.